Welcome, everyone, to the Royal London full year 2024 results presentation, hosted by Royal London's Group Chief Financial Officer, Daniel Cazzo. My name is Dan, and I'm the producer for today. I'd like to advise all participants that this meeting is being recorded. During the presentation, your microphones will be muted, but we will have time for questions at the end of the presentation. Should you wish to ask a question, please raise your hand, and we'll enable your microphone, which will then enable you to unmute yourself. Please then introduce yourself and ask your question. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Daniel Cazzo. So please go ahead, Daniel.
Thanks, Dan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. So as referenced, my name is Daniel Cazzo, and I'm the Group Chief Financial Officer for Royal London. I'm joined by Ant Lee, our Group Chief Actuary, Ian Williams, our Group Finance Director, and Rob Ferguson, our Group Treasurer. This morning, we published our full year results for 2024, and during this call, I'll be referring to the presentation on screen. For those of you who pre-registered for the event, we emailed you a copy earlier. You can also find a copy of the presentation and our results announcement on the Investor Relations page on our website. So moving to the first slide and the agenda for this morning's call. I will take you through the highlights of what we have delivered during 2024 before giving an overview of our financial performance, including our trading position, assets, and flows, and the strength of our balance sheet and capital position. After that, I'll open up to questions. Before we get into the detail, I'd like to start by highlighting some of the key points from today's announcement. So moving to slide three. 2024 reflected our focus on growing our business sustainably while continuing enhancing our offerings to customers and clients. We also focused on strengthening the relationships we have with financial advisors, with enhancements to digital services that make it easier for them to work with us. The progress we made supported an increase in operating profit before tax of 11% to 277 million pounds, up from 249 million pounds in 2023. Our capital position remains robust, with the estimated Solvency II Investor View capital cover ratio standing at 203%. We continue to share our profits with eligible customers, and in April, our profit share scheme will distribute 181 million pounds to 2.3 million customers. Life and pensions new business sales were up 17% to 10.8 billion pounds, with good growth across all our main product lines. Our pensions business benefited from increased transfers, supported by improvements in our digital transfer offering, which encouraged more customers to consolidate their pensions with us. Protection sales were also up as we secured more larger cases. Our flagship investment solution, the Govern range, grew to 72 billion pounds, up from 61 billion pounds in 2023, and the group's total assets under management increased to 173 billion pounds, up from 162 billion pounds at the end of 2023. So turning now to slide four, which sets out the key financial highlights from our business. I will quickly cover some of the headline numbers as I'll talk through the new business sales, assets, flows, and our balance sheet and capital position in more detail over the coming slides. The increase in group operating profit before tax was supported by increased new business contribution across all our main product lines and a growing book of in-force business. A full breakdown of the components of operating profit can be found in the appendix. The transfer to the Fund for Future Appropriations, or FFA, was 167 million pounds, compared with 382 million pounds in 2023. This reflects the impacts of positive economic movements, largely offset by the allocation of profit share. Life and pensions new business sales were up across all of the major lines, and I will walk you through the details shortly. Gross inflows rose to 31.8 billion pounds from 29.9 billion pounds in 2023. Net outflows of 1 billion pounds were impacted by 4.3 billion pounds of external net outflows from global equity strategies, following the departure of a number of members of the global equities team during the year. Our capital position remains robust, with the Investor View and Regulatory View ratios at 203% and 196%, respectively. We have actively managed our hedging position during the year, which is the primary driver of the reduction. So turning now to slide five, which focuses on the highlights for the year from our U.K. business. Overall, new business growth across all our main product lines contributed to the increase in operating profit, which rose to 368 million pounds from 330 million pounds in 2023. U.K. new business sales were up at 10.5 billion pounds, supported by a 19% increase in workplace pension sales, as we attracted around 240,000 new customers. The Govern range, our flagship fund offering, attracted net inflows of £3.2 billion, the same as in 2023. Our growth in the UK is supported by ongoing enhancements being made to our propositions. During the year, we introduced a range of digital improvements to support customers in building their financial resilience. These included a new contribution guidance tool and further enhancements to our service to help customers consolidate their pensions with us. These contributed to a 39% increase in the number of workplace pensions transferring to Royal London and a 26% increase in single premium transfers of individual pensions. For advisors recommending our pensions to their clients, we recently launched a new online system which includes intuitive quote and apply functionality for new business. It has already received very positive feedback from the advisor community. We've also achieved some major milestones in the UK this year. Following our second internal bulk purchase annuity buy-in transaction in January, we successfully announced our entry into the external bulk purchase annuity market in September. By the end of the year, we had completed three full scheme buy-in transactions with external pension schemes. And in July, we finalised the acquisition of Aegon's UK's closed individual protection business following the completion of a core-approved transfer. This saw us welcome nearly 400,000 new customers to Royal London, and we now look after over 1.2 million advised protection customers. And having met the requirements of the FCA's consumer duty for open books of business in July 2023, we successfully met the requirements for closed books in 2024 ahead of the regulatory deadline of 31 July. Turning now to slide 6, which details UK new business sales and the growth we have seen across key product lines. As a reminder, life and pensions new business is reported using economic assumptions set at the start of the reporting period. In 2024, total life and pensions new business sales rose by 16% and new business margin was stable at 1.9%. Individual pension sales increased by 12% to £4.9 billion, and this was driven by growth from our non-advised income release proposition, with single premium transfers performing well. While growth in income release volume has led to new business margins slightly decreasing to 1.4%, the overall new business contribution increased to £66 million, up from £65 million in 2023. In workplace pensions, sales increased by 19% to £4.5 billion. We welcomed almost 1,000 new workplace pension scheme employers, and as a result of enhancements in our digital pensions consolidation service, we saw a 39% rise in the number of pension transfers, with new business margin remaining at 1.9%. UK protection sales increased by 11% to £846 million, with higher volumes across our whole of life, menu and funeral plan propositions, as well as in our large case proposition. New business margin increased to 3.2%. New business sales were further boosted by entry into the bulk purchase annuities market. So turning to slide 7, I'll cover more detail on the progress in our new bulk purchase annuity business and in our matching adjustment portfolio. Early in 2024, we completed a second internal buy-in with the trustees of the Royal London Group Pension Scheme, which partially covers the benefits of the scheme. We have continued to build our capabilities since then, and in September, we confirmed our successful entry into the bulk purchase annuity market. We completed three external buy-ins during 2024, generating £187 million in new business sales, taking the total sales generated from both internal and external buy-ins to over £500 million. As the only mutual offering in the market, the launch has been well received by trustees. And in February, we announced the buy-in of Lufthansa's three defined benefit schemes worth £120 million. We have a healthy pipeline of new business quotes, and whilst it is early days, we remain optimistic for the future. The matching adjustment portfolio has grown over the year to £1.8 billion, with the growth in the portfolio continuing to be supported by both bulk annuities and the writing of new individual annuities internal to Royal London. Over 2025, we will widen the range of assets that the matching adjustment portfolio can invest in to include more private credit and illiquid assets such as infrastructure. Turning to slide 8 and highlights from our asset management business. We continue to deliver good investment performance, which is essential to our ability to attract and retain clients over the long term. Assets under management grew to a record £173 billion. Operating profit has reduced slightly to £59 million as we have continued to build our capabilities organically. We have made new appointments across a range of asset classes, helping to strengthen and broaden our existing investment offering. And as you may have seen last week, our strength in multi-asset has been demonstrated by the win of a £4.6 billion mandate from St James's Place to run its strategic managed unit trust fund. Our strategy to expand in private markets has progressed well, as the wider sector trend remains for increased allocations to private market assets. Following the recruitment of key personnel in 2024, we expect to launch new products and sub-strategies this year. This will also support the introduction of more illiquid asset classes into our matching adjustment portfolio. Building on our established track record in real estate, we are developing into alternative segments, and we made the first investments into our UK living strategy with the purchase of three sites in Bracknell, Slough and Barking, which will result in the provision of over 500 new apartments. While the pace behind sustainable investing has slowed within the sector, many clients remain interested in climate change and the journey towards net zero. In line with our commitment to progress towards net zero across our investment portfolio, we applied a low carbon and governance tilt strategy to our emerging markets equities fund, which we expect to help reduce our carbon exposure. Across our actively managed funds, gross inflows increased in 2024. However, there were overall net outflows for the period of £1 billion, impacted primarily by the outflow of £4.3 billion from global equity strategies. While significant levels of AUM for these strategies have been retained, there will be a full year impact on revenues in 2025 from the outflows during 2024. Turning now to Ireland on slide 9. Our business in Ireland has had another successful year as we remain focused on delivering proposition enhancements and extending our offering to customers. New business sales increased by 29% to £297 million. This growth is largely driven by sales from our pensions business, which more than doubled in 2024 to £109 million. This, combined with lower investment costs as the development of our pension proposition concluded, resulted in operating profit doubling to £10 million. The strength of our business in Ireland is also driven by the number of brokers supporting us, which continues to increase. This has helped to grow sales volumes for our approved retirement fund and personal retirement bond. In November, we launched our personal retirement savings account, a regular premium product designed to offer flexibility to customers. In protection, new business sales for 2024 were up 5%. At £188 million. We retained our position as the largest provider of protection to financial brokers. And by mid-year, we'd also grown to become the largest provider of protection in Ireland overall. Enhancements to the proposition during 2024 included a new portal for customers, which enables them to receive their policy documents online rather than through the post. Turning now to assets and flows on page 10. As referenced, our assets under management of £173 billion were driven by positive market movements, but net outflows of £1 billion were impacted by the outflows from global equities. However, this was offset by an improvement in external net inflows across other strategies of £1.9 billion. Our assets under management are supported by the positive performance of our flagship government range, where most workplace pension customers invested. Internal net inflows increased to £1.4 billion, up from £0.9 billion in 2023. This was the result of positive net inflows from workplace pensions and supported by the bulk purchase annuity buy-ins that I referenced earlier. AUM for the government range increased to £72 billion by the end of 2024, up from £61 billion in 2023. The government range also attracted net inflows of £3.2 billion over the period, a similar level to last year. So moving on to slide 11 and our investment portfolio. Our total investment portfolio increased in value to £124.6 billion, the result of internal net flows as well as increases in fair value primarily in equity and bond classes. Our investment portfolio remains well diversified across a number of instrument classes, with the majority invested in equity securities and fixed income assets. The pie charts demonstrate the breakdown of the non-linked debt securities and corporate bonds by asset rating. A significant portion of our debt securities portfolio is in high quality assets with a credit rating of A or above. In our non-linked portfolio, 78% of our non-linked debt securities and 69% of our non-linked corporate bonds had a credit rating of A or better. There have been no significant defaults in our corporate bond portfolio. On slide 12, we provide more detail about our capital cover ratios. The strength of our capital base is vital to ensure we have the capital to fund future growth, enabling us to make long-term decisions while giving peace of mind to our customers and clients that we can meet our commitments to them. In common with others in the industry, we present two views of our capital position, an investor view and a regulatory view. At the end of December, our group investor view capital cover ratio was 203% compared to 218% at the end of 2023. The group regulatory view capital cover ratio was 196% compared to 206% last year. On an investor view basis, we manage the solvency coverage ratio within an acceptable range. The lower end of this range is 165%, but under normal circumstances, we expect to operate with an investor ratio above 180%. The higher ratio helps to give us flexibility for future investment in the business, which we believe will be a benefit to our members in the long term. The reduction in both cover ratios over 2024 mainly reflects changes to the level of hedging as we seek to manage the capital position within our capital management framework. Our hedging programs continue to ensure the stability of our capital position through periods of market volatility, and you can find a breakdown of capital sensitivities and further details on our Solvency II ratios in the appendix. The capital ratio also reflects the effect of changes in the short-term asset mix of the funds over the year and the initial capital strain from writing bulk purchase annuity business. We expect the ratio to reduce gradually over the short term as we write more bulk purchase annuity business and continue to invest in additional capabilities. Moving on to slide 13 and the waterfall chart, which shows the movement in the group's solvency surplus over the period. The group capital ratio remains stable with a solvency surplus of £2.7 billion. The contribution from all our existing businesses offsets the strain from writing new business, as well as helping to support continued investment in our capabilities and our allocation of profit share. The management actions primarily reflect the impact of the changes to equity hedging that I mentioned earlier. You can find the group regulatory view movements in the appendix. And finally, before we open to questions, turning to slide 14 and to summarise. Our full year results demonstrate the progress we are making in delivering our strategy, growing our business sustainably, and ensuring that there continues to be a strong mutual choice for customers and clients. Our increase in operating profit is supported by strong new business growth across our main product lines and a growing book of in-force business. We are also supported by the positive performance of our government range, which grew its assets under management and continues to attract net inflows. We have continued to build and enhance our capabilities. We made a successful entry into the bulk purchase annuity market, and we already have a good pipeline of business for 2025. The group's assets under management grew to a record level, driven by positive market movements. In Ireland, our strong performance was driven by continued growth of new business sales, supported by the introduction of our personal retirement savings account. Maintaining a strong capital base will be essential to the continued growth of our business. Our capital position has remained robust, allowing us to continue to invest for the long-term benefit of our customers and clients. At this point, I'd like to pause, and together with the team, we'd be happy to take any questions you may have. So I now hand back to Dan, the call coordinator, to begin the Q&A session.
Thank you, Daniel. And as we move now into the Q&A section, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please raise your hand in Teams and your microphone will then be enabled so you can unmute it. Please do remember to introduce yourself before asking your question. So please go ahead and raise your hand if you do have a question. Okay, Marcus, you'll now find you're able to unmute your microphone, so please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks for the presentation today. I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about the management actions you undertook on the solvency position over the course of the year. And I'm focusing more on the regulatory view rather than investor view. And I think in the results release, you seem to suggest that some of the impacts really only impact the investor view, but are they fully replicated into the regulatory view as well? Thank you.
Thanks, Marcus. So just in terms of the actions we've taken, effectively, we have a range of hedging activities across the book. The most significant change we have made during 2024, and I think we did in the first half of the year, so similar to the first half presentation, was we reduced the level of equity hedging that we have in the book. But when I say equity hedging, some of that is hedging AMCs or future AMCs on the unit-linked pensions book. So it's not pure sort of market risk on equity movements. And you can see in the appendices on page 19 of the presentation the sensitivities of our solvency ratio, both on a investor view and a regulatory view of our balance sheet and solvency position to equity movements. And you will see that it is pretty insensitive to equity movements. So the hedging was effectively, hedging change was driven by us effectively going through our hedging framework and capital management framework and bringing it into line with the development of the book is probably the simplest way of describing it. That has a direct impact of bringing the ratio down. But as you can see in here, equity investment movements have a small impact or very small impact on the actual level of solvency surplus. In terms of impact between the investor ratio and the regulatory ratio, the impacts are pretty much identical across them. The differences between the two ratios is that we're obviously bringing in the SCR and the own funds of the closed funds, but capped at the level of the SCR for those funds into the regulatory view ratio, which distorts the movements, but the underlying movements within them are identical between the investor view and the regulatory view. And you can see what I mean by that in terms of the way the regulatory view ratio works on page 21 of the presentation as well. But Marcus, happy if you've got a follow-up to that, I'll happily come back to you, or if you'd like a bit more about it sort of offline with the investor relations team, we can do that as well.
Okay, thank you. Can I just have a couple of quick little follow-ups as well, please?
Yeah, of course.
So first of all, just the general direction of travel of the ratios. I mean, obviously, appreciate the 196 is sitting above, I guess, where you would your floor for normal times, 150. But should this sort of trend lower continue as you put more capital to work into, say, bulk annuities? You do flag that as being so it wasn't a big amount of deals done this year, but obviously absorbed some capital. And then finally, life stress test this year, will that also affect you? And if you could talk a little bit about that, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. So just to take the two. So just as a recap, so we're comparing sort of apples and apples. So you'll have seen in the announcement today, we haven't previously talked about the bottom end of our capital ranges. I thought it was helpful to provide that information. I know it's a question I've been asked a number of times in the past. So for everybody's benefit, to make sure everybody understands that I'm doing the right comparison. So we set a bottom end of the range on the regulatory ratio of 150%. But as I said, recognizing that there's an element of maths in the regulatory ratio rather than necessarily level of surplus capital in the business. And then on an investor basis, the bottom end of our range is 165. But we would normally seek to operate in the ordinary quarters of business above 180. And that's what we've set out in the financial review section of the RNS today. So if I'm looking at trajectory, what I've effectively said in the announcement is that I am expecting the investor ratio to reduce gradually over the course of the short term, by which you can read 2, 3, 4 years. As we start to write more bulk annuity business, that trend will be similar in the regulatory ratio, but it will be impacted by the movement in the closed funds as well of the SCR. So it isn't a perfect comparison between the two. But the statement around being above 180% on the investor view ratio in the ordinary course of business, you should also be reading alongside that in the context of what I mean by reducing gradually. So I am not expecting it to go below 180% in the absence of a significant transaction or otherwise. In terms of bulk purchase annuity business, the strain on an annual basis, I'm expecting to be low single digits based on what we are looking to write. That will obviously vary a bit by the nature of the scheme that we write. So when I say low single digits, you can probably read somewhere between 2 and 4% per annum as we go through it. The only other bit I would add to it, though, and there is a little bit of this in this year-end result, is, you know, as everybody knows, we have a very good fixed income capability within RLAM. And to the extent to which we see opportunities to purchase assets in advance of transactions, we will purchase those assets and we will hold them in support funds outside of the core MAP. So there is about a percentage point of capital strain in the 2024 of effectively pre-funding assets before they've been put into the MA portfolio. And we will continue to do that to the extent to which we see opportunities to buy assets that are at a good price and represent good value to us. It's quite a lot in that, again, Marcus, but hopefully that's helped give you a bit more colour. In terms of the stress testing, we are not part of that stress testing process.
Okay, thank you. Is there any reason why you're not part of that? Sorry, it was just flagged by a listed entity today, but why would you not be part of life?
Because I think the stress testing is focused on the listed entities, and we haven't hit the PRAs, plainly the PRA thresholds for doing. We obviously share an element of stress testing that we do on a voluntary basis with the PRA as well, but I think they are primarily focused on the listed entities.
Okay, thank you very much.
Excellent. And if there are no further questions, we will draw the session to a close there. So just one final call for questions. Do feel free to raise your hand if you have one. Wonderful. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll draw the session to a close there. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dan. Much appreciated. Thank you. Thanks.